Good mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up, it was William Shakespeare who once warned, neither a borrower nor a lender be. And according to a new Bankrate survey, that's still pretty good advice some 400 years later. Also this morning in our salute to service in honor of Hispanic Heritage Month, the story of how one U.S. Army soldier strives to honor her family's background, both in uniform and in her own small business startup. The Trojans will try to bounce back from a tough loss against Perrysburg this evening. We'll get our high school football preview and another collection of yummy and easy-to-make recipes from Kyra's Kitchen. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Friday, October 11th, 2024. Did you hear this just absolutely amazing story out of Putnam County yesterday? Apparently, yesterday morning, three people were in a vehicle that was struck by a train in Columbus Grove. Says a 23-year-old Lima resident, young lady from Lima, was behind the wheel crossing the tracks in Columbus Grove when the vehicle was struck by a train. And believe it or not, of the three, and I don't know who is all who in this, but one person walked away unhurt, and the injuries to the other two described as non-life-threatening. So everybody on the mend today. Non-life-threatening. One person walked away unhurt, and the other two non-life-threatening. That doesn't happen very often. You get into a tangle with the train. It usually does not end that well. I don't know who any of these people are. The names, to the best of my knowledge, have not yet been released. The investigation is ongoing, yada, yada, yada. But whoever these people are, buy lottery tickets tonight. buy a bunch of lottery tickets. Play the 50-50 at the football games this evening. Maybe plan a trip to Vegas, because these have to be the luckiest people alive. Just amazing. Yeah, not a good idea to get into a tussle with a train, but that is crazy. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Friday morning started. If you're looking for something to do for lunch today, maybe check out Wendy's. If you are a SpongeBob SquarePants fan, you can get the famous Krabby Patty at Wendy's. It is a promotional tie-in, the 25th anniversary of the show SpongeBob SquarePants, which, first of all, doesn't seem possible that it's been around for 25 years, but it's 25th anniversary of the show. And so Wendy's has introduced their new Krabby Patty collaboration. Special meals, Krabby Patty meals at locations nationwide rolled out earlier this week. It is a quarter pound burger with two slices of cheese, lettuce, tomato, pickle, onion, and a top secret Krabby collab sauce. Top secret Krabby Patty sauce. And you can also get a pineapple under the sea frosty, which is just your regular vanilla frosty swirled with pineapple mango puree. So, yummy, yummy for a Krabby Patty at Wendy's today. So another college football weekend is upon us. Big, big game for the Buckeyes. They are out at Oregon, the freshly minted Big Ten rivalry, the Battle of the O's, the Ohio State University and Oregon. But Washington is at Iowa this weekend, and I bring that up because the Hawkeye Wave has been voted the best college sports tradition in the country. USA Today asked their readers about all of the traditions in college football, and the Hawkeye Wave that began, it's a relatively recent tradition, began in 2017, where fans, players, coaches, even the referees turn and wave to the pediatric patients at the hospital that overlooks the stadium, and aims to uplift the spirits of the children and their families who are facing health challenges in the The university also runs the Kid Captain program to honor and share the stories of pediatric patients. And I believe that they also play a song in the background during the Kinnick wave, during the Hawkeye wave, and it's selected. The song selection is made by one of the kid patients. Maybe it is the kid captain for the game gets to pick the song that is played. And everybody waves, and it is just an incredible. I would have to agree. That is the best college sports tradition out there. There are a lot of great ones, and, Script Ohio and Hang on Sloopy and, all of those ones that Ohio State is famous for, and every school has their tradition, and they're all terrific. But I would have to agree. The Hawkeye Wave is absolutely the best college tradition out there. And Washington is at Iowa. Hawkeyes hosting their new Big Ten rivals. It'll be the first time that Washington gets to participate in the wave. So that is pretty cool. So Ohio, though, does have at least one claim to fame. Skyline Chili, based in Cincinnati, has now set the record for the most hot dog photos uploaded to Instagram in 1 hour. So, are we scraping the bottom of the barrel for records now? Skyline Chili celebrated its 75th anniversary with the help of fans using the hashtag Skyline Chili World Record. Over 1,000 photos were uploaded between 11:30 and 12:30 Wednesday. 11:30 in the morning, 12:30 in the afternoon. So that hour, right around the lunch hour on Wednesday, over 1,000 photos uploaded to Instagram. And yes, that is a new record for the most hot dog photos uploaded to Instagram in 1 hour. The mayor of Cincinnati even acknowledged the restaurant on social media, writing, 75 years of Skyline Chili time. Happy birthday and thank you for all of the ways you serve our city. So we may not have the best college football tradition, but we hold the record for the most hot dog photos uploaded in an hour. We know how to party in the Buckeye State, let me tell you. So Halloween right around the corner, and this is the latest listing of the scariest movies of all time. Variety, the industry newspaper, came up with their definitive ranking, what they call the definitive ranking of the 100 scariest movies of all time. I have the top five here. If you want to go beyond that, you can look it up. Variety has the list. Number one, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original from 1974, hailed for creating a mythology of horror that even feels more resonant today than it did 50 years ago. So The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, number one scariest movie of all time, according to Variety. The Exorcist from 1973 was number two. Half a century later, director William Friedkin's classic remains so compelling because everyone involved commits to the realism of demonic possession. So The Exorcist, number two. Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho was number three. An iconic film. Fourth place went to Steven Spielberg's 1975 classic Jaws, which it says the critics say few films have so fundamentally altered human behavior the way Jaws did, compelling millions to steer clear of the water. Jaws, number three or number four on the list of the scariest movies of all time. And then rounding out the top five, from 1968, Roman Polanski's Rosemary's Baby, a film that, in Variety's words, generates such supreme paranoia and suspense that it stands as one of the last great pieces of classical movie making to emerge from New Hollywood. So there are the top five scariest movies of all time. If you need a good fright for Halloween, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Exorcist, Psycho, Jaws, and Rosemary's Baby. You really can't go wrong with those. I mean, it's hard to argue with those five. You might put them in a different order, perhaps. I would probably put Psycho up at number one, or even The Exorcist, maybe The Exorcist number one, Psycho number two. But, you know, those top five, it's hard to argue with that. So that's, again, if you want to see the full list, Variety has it. I would assume on their website, you can check that out. If you need a good scare this weekend, pass the popcorn. And lastly here, among the first things you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories on this Friday morning, something to consider: how much time do you waste scrolling through the content on your phone? Maybe it's Facebook, maybe it's Instagram, maybe you're looking for all of those hot dog photos. Whatever. Maybe you're doom scrolling through all of the news headlines. The average American, according to a new study, the average American loses 36 days a year to content consumption. Gen Zers say that they lose 5 days a month to scrolling, streaming, and binge watching. Interestingly, according to the survey, those who say they have good or excellent mental health lose the least amount of days to content consumption, reporting a lower average of 2.7 days per month. Dr. Sham Singh recommends creating tech-free zones. Also, he says, use your phone intentionally, not just mindlessly, and reflect on the content consumption that you are, or the content that you are consuming. This reflection helps you discern which content actually enriches your life and which might be just a time waster. So, wow, that is 36 days a year. That's more than a month worth of scrolling. Think about that. Something to consider there. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Friday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather: partly to mostly sunny skies today with a high in the mid-70s. Partly cloudy tonight, low in the mid-50s. The Putnam County Sheriff's Office says two people were injured when their SUV was hit by a train. The Sheriff's Office says a 23-year-old from Lima was driving southbound on Main Street in Columbus Grove when her vehicle was hit by a train that was traveling southbound on the CSX railroad tracks. The Sheriff's Office says there were three people in the SUV and all three were able to exit the vehicle. Two of the people who were in the SUV were taken to a hospital for injuries that are not life-threatening, and that crash remains under investigation. The Kiwanis Club of Findlay launched its 2024-25 service year with the installation of officers and directors, including President Jeremy Strapp and President-elect Ashley Ritz, among others. Outgoing President Cassie Turner recognized several members for their contributions this year, including Brandon Shoemaker, who was named the 2024 Kiwanian of the Year, commemorating a Kiwanian who has gone above and beyond in service to the community and the club. Get more details in the story on our website. The Ohio Attorney General's office and 49 other states' attorneys general have reached a $52 million settlement with the Marriott hotel chain over a data breach involving the personal information of hotel guests.
Officials say data was compromised as early as July of 2014 and went undetected until September of 2018. The investigation found that Marriott violated state consumer protection laws by failing to implement reasonable security measures despite the representations about their security practices. Under the agreement, Marriott will strengthen its data security practices, provide certain consumer protections, and pay more than $1.5 million to Ohio.
ONN's Angela Ann reporting. The pharmacy team at Harry's Pharmacy, a division of Blanchard Valley Health System, will partner with the Cary Police Department to hold a medication take-back day on Saturday, October 26th. This will be a drive-through and drop-off event. Harry's Pharmacy is located at the Cary Medical and Diagnostics Center at 30 Sheridan Drive in Cary. Remember, you can always get more news online at WFIN.com.
They know it was Shakespeare who once warned us, neither a borrower nor a lender be, and in many respects it is still good advice, because for loan oft loses both itself and friend. And a new Bankrate survey finds that is still the case over 400 years later. Bankrate senior industry analyst Ted Rossman is with us to share some more on this survey. And what you found, Ted, is that more often than not, when you lend money to a friend or a family member, something bad is going to happen.
That's right. Unfortunately, half of us have lent to family and friends or paid for a group bill and expected to be paid back. And 55% of those people had something bad happen, at least once, to be fair. It's not every time, but right. Still, it only takes once or twice to make a big impact. 42% lost money, 24% had a damaged relationship, 9% had damage to their credit score. Unfortunately, there are a lot of things that can go wrong.
Yeah. And you know, it's one thing to lose money, which is, again, as you mentioned, the most common scenario. But then to lose a relationship, to lose a friend, or to have a lingering conflict with a family member, those are really the things that are the unfortunate side effects of all of this.
That's a really good point, and that's part of why I say maybe it's better not to lend in the first place. Yeah. I don't mean to sound harsh. I mean, there are ways you can help other than giving money. Maybe you could offer connections or advice or some kind of support. Or if you do help, maybe you treat it like a gift as opposed to a loan.
Yeah.
Because a loan really hangs over both parties. It's like they say on the airplane, put your oxygen mask on before helping others. You don't want to jeopardize your own financial security. If you are going to give this sort of help, I would assume that you may not get the money back, and you have to be okay with that.
Yeah, I that is such a good point that I was going to mention. I'm glad you brought that up because, again, looking at the results of the survey, the most common point of tension that comes is this expectation that the money will be paid back within a certain amount of time or at all, which is probably not all that surprising. And that's why I know a lot of financial experts will say that if you want to help a friend or family member monetarily, assume that you are giving them a gift, not a loan, with no expectations.
I agree. You might consider getting the terms in writing. Now, not that you're going to sue your friend or family member, most likely, but maybe that at least makes it clear, you know, if there is the desire to get paid back. At least then you've spelled it out. You may still not get the money back, but at least you don't get in that weird in-between of, well, wait, did they want the money back? Did they not?
Yeah.
When it comes to things like group restaurant meals and group trips, I find that it often makes sense to get paid back quickly. If you're going to pay the bill, sometimes people like to do that to get the credit card rewards, or maybe it's just simpler to have one person pay, but have everybody else pay you back right then and there. You could use Venmo. You can use some other apps like Splitwise. There are ways that you can use technology to your advantage to kind of nudge people that, yes, I was expecting that money back.
Yeah, that is a good point. Technology does make that a little bit easier, and maybe you can leverage that to your benefit. You know, part of it, too, and again, the survey looked at this in some detail. Part of it has to do with the general discomfort that we have in talking about money with other people, more so even than religion and politics, which are kind of the traditional taboo subject.
I thought that was interesting. We asked about a host of particularly sensitive subjects. And the one that people were the least comfortable talking about was their bank account balance. And we're talking about with family and close friends here. So not total strangers, but a bank account balance, most off limits, your love life was second, credit card debt was third. So money was really well represented at the top of the list. Another way to look at it, things that people would rather talk about that we discussed in our survey were politics, religion, their weight, and their health. So
Wow. Money
is pretty uncomfortable for a lot of people.
That is saying something. If we're more akin, especially in this environment, to talk about politics and religion over money, that is definitely saying something. Although, when you drill down on those numbers, you also find that this is something of a generational thing that is getting to be less of a stigma among younger people.
And I'm happy to see that. People under age 40 in particular are getting more comfortable talking about money. Some of it is that Gen Zers and younger millennials are kind of a share everything on social media generation. But some of it goes deeper than that. Salary transparency is a big deal to a lot of people in their 20s and 30s. And you know, sometimes it's a desire to break down things like the gender pay gap. Sometimes it's just a desire to know your worth at work. And we are seeing a lot of people in their 20s and 30s talking to friends and coworkers about how much they make. And sometimes they're finding surprising things that people in similar jobs have very different salaries. And sometimes there's a way to act on that by bringing that to management's attention.
You know, notwithstanding the aversion that many of us have to talking about money, there are always those stories about the one member of the family or the circle of friends who never seems to have trouble asking for money, always seems to have their hand out. And of course, the holidays are coming, and it can really be tricky to navigate those requests when you really don't want to or you really can't afford to. But you kind of feel like you have to, if only to keep the peace.
It is awkward. I feel like it's okay to say no in some circumstances. Maybe there's an empathetic no about, can I help in a different way? Can I offer connections or advice? Or it depends what the request is. A lot of times it's parents and their adult children. So maybe the answer there is, instead of footing the bill for their rent and their entire lifestyle, you know, maybe you can help with certain expenses for a certain amount of time. Like, mm-hmm. You know, we don't want to be harsh here. I mean, there are ways to help, but you don't want it to go on forever and ever and become enabling bad behavior and a failure to launch. Or, you know, maybe the kid could live with you for 6 months or a year and you try to have them set money aside and that becomes the freedom fund so they can get their own apartment. You know, if it's more of a peer-to-peer request, like it's your best friend or your brother-in-law or somebody who needs money, if you are in a position to help, maybe you do, but maybe you treat it like a gift and you think you might not get the money back. Maybe you say, you know, I'm sorry, my finances are tight. It just doesn't work right now.
Yeah.
Can I help in a different way?
Yeah. I've personally had some success in kind of turning it back around. Hey, I would love to, but I don't have it to lend. I was actually going to ask you if I could borrow money. And that kind of, you know, makes it a little bit lighter and maybe removes some of that stigma or some of that that awkwardness in that result. I do like your bottom line in all of this, and letting this be your ultimate litmus test, not to lend any more money than you can afford to lose, assuming going in that you're not going to get it back.
That's the biggest thing. Yeah. Because, you know, we know a lot of people are dealing with credit card debt. They're undersaved for emergencies. That's a great way to turn it around. You know, what you said about it does diffuse the situation about, hey, I was hoping to borrow from you. So
yeah.
You want to keep the relationship intact. It does trouble me that about 1 in 4 people who lent to family and friends had the relationship harmed. I feel like that might actually be even worse than losing money in many cases.
Right. Or even dinging your credit score. Those things will recover, but it's those relationships that don't always. And given that the holidays are coming, given, you know, that people are, you know, more people are struggling, let's be honest, we're more likely to probably encounter some of those requests. So being prepared for them now is probably a good thing. Again, Bankrate senior industry analyst Ted Rossman with more on their latest survey on borrowing and lending to friends and family members. Ted, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So Hispanic Heritage Month, it is observed from September 15th to October 15th each year. It's kind of an offset observance, if you will, to recognize the rich history, culture, and contributions of Hispanic Americans. And this morning, we are speaking with Sergeant First Class Elizabeth Calderon, who weaves her culture through every aspect of her life, both as a soldier in the U.S. Army and an entrepreneur. And Sergeant Calderon, thanks very much for taking the time. First of all, want to start with your Army career. Talk a little bit about that pathway and how you got to where you are now.
Well, I grew up in Orange County, California, and at the age of 17, I graduated high school, started a job in retail, and, you know, did the college thing for a little while, and it just, it wasn't for me. I wasn't making an impact, and I wanted something more. I wanted to experience more. I had a lot of friends that were in the military, and they always were traveling. They were physically fit. They always have stories to tell, and I really wanted something like that. I wanted to be like them. And so they recommended that I join the Army. And so I quickly found a recruiter. Next thing you know, I'm in basic training. I had nothing. I didn't know what to expect. But yeah, quickly I realized that it was about teamwork. It was about discipline. It was about time management. It was about diversity. And there were people from everywhere. Didn't matter how old you were, what you looked like, where you came from. Like, we were all just treated the same. We were all equal, you know. And I did spend some time as a drill sergeant. I want to say that was probably the most rewarding time of my career so far. Because of the impact I know I made on soldiers.
Yeah.
And the impact they made on me. I currently work here in Fort Jackson, South Carolina, and I'm at the Soldier Support Institute now. I'm at a different level in my career. And so now, like, I work for the Adjutant General Corps, and we pretty much help redesign the force structure. We write, or wow, we help update regulations. We do a lot of, you know, a lot of reports and things like that. But we also plan and coordinate different events. And so this is where I've been able to tap into my creative side and help with the marketing, social media content creation, and web design and things like that. So that's actually helped me with my small business.
Well, I was going to say, it sounds like you keep plenty busy just with that.
Oh, yeah.
And yet at the same time, you have also, you are also an entrepreneur. You have a startup coffee company called Mejia Coffee. Tell us about this and how this came to be.
Oh, so the idea came from my love for coffee. And so, like, within my culture, we're drinking coffee at a very young age. And within the Army culture, coffee's life. Coffee's everything to us. And, you know, we're out in the field or deployed, wherever we're at, we always have coffee. And so, you know, during COVID, that's when I started, you know, developing the idea. And I knew that I was going to get out soon and I wanted something to fall back on. So I wanted my business to capture my culture. I wanted something to represent my upbringing, you know, my community. And so I just made sure that everything, every little last detail from where the beans come from the aroma, the packaging, the branding, the website, you know, my social media, everything kind of just ties in and you feel the culture. You, there's a lot of Chicano art on my packaging and, you know, a lot of customers relate to it and they can tell me I feel like I'm at home again. Cause a lot of them are military. And so, you know, we're away from home for so many years. And so it just brings you home, you know, and it's been a really cool experience so far.
Expand on that a little bit, because, you know, you referencing your Hispanic heritage, obviously Hispanic Heritage Month, want to really focus on that. But you talk about it in relationship to both your career in the military and obviously your small business as well.
Yeah. So, like, growing up, you know, we were instilled with worth ethic and humility and empathy and humbleness. So, like, I just grew up appreciating the simple things, you know, and treating other people with respect and always having a positive outlook. And I just feel like these values have helped me navigate through my career in the military and, you know, running a small business. So it all just kind of entwines, and it's great.
As we said, either one of these careers, these dual interests that you have going on right now, certainly take up an awful lot of your time. How has the Army made it possible for you to balance all of those responsibilities that you now have, both in and out of uniform?
Because the Army just instills so many skills in you, you know, like discipline, time management, resiliency is huge. We're often put in a lot of situations where you have to be adaptable. You have to be resourceful and flexible. You know, we're put into situations where we got to rely on one another to get things done. So with these skills and my values during my upbringing, like, I feel like I've been empowered. I've been empowered to take risks, to put myself out there. I'm not afraid to volunteer for things because I see everything as an opportunity to grow as a soldier, as a woman, a mother, and a business owner. So I really feel like the Army, you know, has made it possible for me to remain balanced and focused.
It's interesting what you mentioned at the outset is that you kind of did the college thing, wasn't really for you. started in, you know, working with a job, didn't really necessarily find it as fulfilling as you had hoped it would be. And so, you know, you kind of, I don't want to say meandered into the military, but found it ultimately what you wanted there. But I would imagine that there are probably a number of young people who feel that same way, not haven't really found their niche yet. What would you say? Mm-hmm. What would you say to young people, particularly young Hispanic Americans, about the opportunities that you have been able to take advantage of?
Well, if you're out there listening and you're considering to join the Army, just go for it. Go for it, because the Army, there's so many different benefits. There's so many opportunities for you to grow. There's the Army will take care of you. There's financially, you're set. Medically, you and your family are set. Mm-hmm. Like, I think a lot of times we stop ourselves because of fear. Fear of what people are going to say. Fear of what our family is going to say. And that's a big one. But ultimately, you deserve to find your potential. And the Army can help guide you there. I strongly recommend that when you do enlist, you select a job that you have passion for, something that's going to bring you that fulfillment. Seek mentors, because you're going to need mentors throughout every phase of your career. And then also gravitate towards the soldiers that are making an impact, the ones that have goals, the ones that are, they bring out the best in you, the ones that make you feel good, and make those people your circle.
So I'm curious, with all of this going on right now, what is next for you?
Oh gosh, I have so much going on. So, I mean, the business is, you know, it's my baby, but I also help build marketing material and websites for other businesses, because I have this talent and I want to share it with them, and I want to see them succeed. So there's other service members that I design for, right?
Oh, cool.
And then my husband owns his business. Yes. I also do that for my husband's business, and we're actually going to start a third business together. So, I mean, I have a lot going on, a lot to look forward to, and I just growing.
Well,
I still want to grow.
We certainly wish you the best of luck and continued success. Again, Sergeant First Class Elizabeth Calderon with us this morning in recognition of Hispanic Heritage Month. Where can we get more information, again, on starting that path with the U.S. Army?
You guys can go check out GoArmy.com.
Sergeant Calderon, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
I appreciate you. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Your football forecast tonight. Don't let the warm weather this afternoon fool you. It is going to be absolutely gorgeous by kickoff. Around 71 degrees for the start of the Friday night football games. We'll be in the mid to upper 60s by halftime and low to mid 60s by the end of the game. Perfect football weather for all of the action. And the Trojans, with a big one tonight, hosting Perrysburg. This coming off a tough loss, letting an upset of Anthony Wayne kind of slip through their fingers. They get another chance against the 6-1 Yellow Jackets tonight. And earlier this week on the Coach's Corner, John Marshall spoke with Findlay head coach Stephan Adams.
Certainly not a bad showing, but you weren't able to get the win.
Yeah, it was a tough one. We thought we had a great game plan going in, and thought we did a really good job of attacking them offensively. And I felt like defensively we were doing a great job in the first half as well, too. We were tackling really well, in areas of improvement from early on in the season to now. Just didn't finish it in the second half. And I think what it comes down to is we got to find those ways to help our guys go finish a game. So some little small errors, but for the most part, you can't let a good team like that have life. You know, we had a chance maybe to extend it to 3 scores, and we didn't do that. Let them score before the half, and it just caught momentum on the back end.
Blaine and Eckleberry ran for 2 touchdowns, threw for a pair as well. 24 of 30 with no interceptions, a total of over 300 yards. He seems to continue to head in the right direction, keeps finding the open receiver, and the receiver is doing a good job once they get the ball in their hands.
Yeah, I think the offensive staff has done a great job of really trying to find what his skill set is and also kind of allow him to be the best version of himself. Things that he does well, things that he's still working on and improving on, they don't want to put too much on his plate. So he's done a good job of being creative. And man, I mean, we didn't go into the game thinking we were going to run him 29 times.
Right.
But, I mean, got to give the kid credit. I mean, freshman year, and, you know, he was very efficient throwing the ball and ran it more than we expected. So I thought he handled things as well as possible.
This week you're back at home again. Perrysburg comes to town with a 6-1 record, but you have proven that you can play with that caliber of competition just like last week.
Yeah.
Can I guess that the message is, hey, we've shown we can do it.
Yep.
Now we just have to do it for 48 minutes.
Yeah, the message is just, I mean, we got to go finish the game. I mean, that's the bottom line. Go finish the game. What does finishing the game mean? It means when we have the lead, being able to still go out there with the championship mentality and just play one play at a time. I think that was kind of our motto last year, was next play mentality. You know, move on, whatever happens prior, you know, you can't change it. Adapt to what's in front of us and make that next play. So kind of a mix of that while also saying that, hey, guys, like everything that we want is still in front of us. You always have a lot to play for, but, I mean, there's still things, a championship in our league is still right in front of us.
Mm-hmm. What is it that is of particular concern when the Yellow Jackets come to town?
Yeah, I mean, they're a well-schooled, well-coached team. I think they have some... You know, another veteran quarterback that has had a couple of years of experience now. They have a good offensive line. They're very physical. They use their running back. They use their quarterback to run. There's just some carryover from when Andy Brungardner was at Perrysburg and what he took to Anthony Wayne that he's made his own. But Perrysburg, there's still those elements of run game with the quarterback, being physical up front, hitting play action off top of it. And then defensively, I just think they're really well coached. I think guys are in the right spots. They do a good job of passing off motions and handling shifts. And then they tackle. When they get near you, they tackle you. And you can see there's an emphasis on getting a lot of hats to the ball. So just very well coached all around. They don't beat themselves. And, you know, we know it's going to be a tough task coming in. But we're excited because we think we're a pretty darn good ball club, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And they'll get the chance to prove it. The Trojans will tonight at home against 6-1 Perrysburg. And we're week number 8 now. And so I know the coaches don't like talking about this and they don't want the players thinking about this, but for the fans, we start to think about the postseason and the playoffs and the tournament coming up. For teams like Findlay in Division One, making the playoffs is really not a huge concern. Most teams do, and the Trojans are solidly into the playoffs. That's not going to be an issue with the way the playoffs are structured. What you're playing for is the possibility to play that Week 11 game at home. And right now, Findlay sits in 10th place in Division One, Region One, but with a win over Perrysburg tonight, if they can figure it out and get that win, they can beat Whitmer next week. That would go a long way to securing a home playoff game in week 11. So a lot to play for here for the Trojans tonight. Our coverage begins at 6:10 this evening with Tonight in High School Football. And across our family of stations, other gridiron action this evening in the BBC. Macomb is at Arlington. On our sister station, 100.5 WKXA and WKXA.com. And over on 106.3 The Fox, the Titans of Ottawa-Glandorf will host Salina. And OG season's been kind of crazy. They started with a loss, then a win, a loss, and a win. It's been loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win the whole season. So they are actually due for a win. If the pattern holds, they should win tonight again, Salina. We'll see if they can make it happen. That on the Fox tonight and 106.3thefox.com. You can follow all of the area action live in real time on the WFIN scoreboard page, powered by ScoreStream and presented by Owens Community College at WFIN.com/scoreboard. That link is up at our webpage at goodmornings.net.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
Sometimes in the broken news, it's not the criminals that are making the headlines, it's the cops. And in this case, a Mississippi police officer is facing charges after allegedly passing out in his patrol car while holding a meth pipe. While holding a meth pipe. Authorities at the Yazoo City Police Department claim the officer was discovered in this compromising position last Saturday. The glove box, the officer's patrol car, also contained marijuana, according to the report. The officer was arrested for drug possession and has been released on bond. And I would imagine, I'm just guessing here, the story doesn't say, but I would imagine he's probably looking for other employment. just a guess here. Elsewhere in the broken news, and this is a little bit gruesome, a little bit gross, but the story is just too incredible not to share. Here it is. And again, I warn you that there's a gruesome aspect to this, but I guess it is Halloween, so there is that. Woman in Kentucky is in custody after cops say they found a dismembered corpse and cooked body parts in her home. Cooked body parts. Toralina Mayfields, which is like the most Kentucky name ever. Toralina Mayfields was arrested earlier this week in Mount Olivet and charged with abuse of a corpse. The police say that they were checking on a report of a deceased woman when they found the body, along with body parts, inside a folded mattress. Apparently like a big taco or something, I'm not sure. They also found, they say, what appeared to be body parts in a pot in the oven. The body... Reportedly belonged to Ms. Fields' mother. So, what are you doing there? I'm just cooking up mom. Just cooking up mom. Now, again, all indications are, and I think we should clarify this, that Ms. Fields is not charged with killing her mom. All indications are from the report that the woman passed away by some other means, perhaps natural causes or what have you. She was just disposing of mom in a most unusual way. Just cooking up mom. Wow. Not to be outdone, a funeral home in Queens, New York, is being sued. The funeral home is being sued for shipping a body to the wrong country. Lawsuit filed in the Supreme Court of New York says that the R.G. Ortiz funeral home was supposed to ship the remains of 96-year-old Carmen Maldonado to her native Ecuador. Okay, she is living in New York. She passed away, and they wanted to lay her to rest in her native native country of Ecuador. But instead, the funeral home sent the body to Guatemala, which is about 1,400 miles away. Oops! The funeral home allegedly didn't come clean for 2 weeks about the error when Ms. Maldonado's family saw a video posted by a reporter about the mix-up. The lawsuit alleges that by the time they recovered the body and straightened out the mess, Ms. Maldonado was in too bad a shape, or remains in too bad a shape, to have a traditional funeral. Her loved ones are seeking unspecified damages. The funeral home has faced legal action in the past for losing bodies. It's not the first time this has happened, apparently. But shipping a body to the wrong country, that's a little excessive. I mean, I can understand Ecuador, Guatemala, you know, it's easy to get them confused, but they're 1,400 miles away. You really should clarify that before you slap the shipping label on the coffin. And a couple of other items here from the broken news. A Philadelphia man involved in an illegal, like a car cruise, a bunch of guys, their fancy hot rods, get together and cruise the streets of Philadelphia. And, you know, they do these things all over the country and cause general, I don't know, they're just being annoying, you know, cruising and squealing their tires, racing on the streets. The car meetup. So a Philadelphia man involved in one of these illegal car meetups was arrested earlier this month. And what makes this story interesting is how police managed to pick him out from the crowd. It wasn't that difficult. He was dressed as a banana. You heard that right. He was dressed as a banana. Police tell local news reporters that Shane Thomas, age 18, was one of hundreds of people and vehicles that gathered for about a dozen of these car meetups that ended with thousands of dollars worth of property damage and an injured police officer in these meetups. Police were able to track Mr. Thomas down through his own social media posts in which he was wearing the banana costume. And those the man in the costume later linked on different platforms to his high school yearbook photo. So I don't know if he wore the banana costume for his high school yearbook photo or not, but that's how they were tracked him down, because of his banana costume. Maybe the next time that you are doing something illegal and you want to lay low, don't wear a banana costume. But he's 18. He'll learn. And finally, in the broken news this morning, a police department in California is the first in the country to have an official Tesla Cybertruck as an official vehicle of the Irvine Police Department near Los Angeles. Irvine Police Department, they purchased a Tesla Cybertruck, complete, is now part of the fleet, complete with flashing police lights. They've posted a video of this on social media, complete with flashing police lights, and it's all, you know, decked out. They say they will use their new Tesla Cybertruck to promote their DARE program, the anti-drug DARE program. The department said on Facebook that for three decades, the DARE officers in Irvine have driven attention-grabbing vehicles that never fail to excite students. And so that's what they are hoping for with the Cybertruck as well, to help promote their anti-drug abuse efforts. And I think that's appropriate, because every time I see a Cybertruck, I think that someone has to be on drugs. You know, that's every time I see one of those, hey, somebody's high. There you go. That is today's Broken News Report, an update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
Did you know more than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio for their news, traffic, weather, sports, and a community connection? AM radio is the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping Americans safe in dangerous times. This is News Director Matt Demchak. AM 1330 WFIN is here to serve you, and we take seriously our commitment to our listeners. We would love to hear what you value most about AM radio. Visit WeAreBroadcasters.com and tell us how you depend on AM.
Time now for your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. Gen Zers, young adults these days, sometimes get a bad rap in the workforce. And to be fair, sometimes it's warranted. A new survey commissioned by Canva noted that younger folks actually get more recognition at the job than their older counterparts. And it's still not enough for them, according to the survey. And they still want more. They're already getting more recognition than the rest of us, and they still want more. The survey polled 1,500 employees and found 49% of Gen Zers said that they receive recognition at work once a week or more. By comparison, just 37% of millennials, 24% of Gen Xers, and 15% of baby boomers said the same. They're already getting recognition on the job more so than other groups. But the survey also noted that 83% of Gen Z employees wished they felt more appreciated at their job. And kind of interesting, they are the ones that want even more recognition. Even though they get more, they want more. 77% of millennial employees wish that they felt more appreciated. 73% of Gen Xers and 66% of boomers. Notable in that study that all age groups feel underappreciated at work. So bosses, managers, take note. 75% overall of employees feel that they are underappreciated. The survey also showed that 94% of employees who feel highly appreciated love their workplace. 94%. So just, you know, those little expressions of appreciation go a long way to workplace satisfaction. 91% or 94% say they love their workplace. 91% say they love their job when they get that, when they feel highly appreciated. Conversely, you might anticipate these results based on those. Just 18% of those who feel unappreciated or neutral when asked whether they feel appreciated or not. Just 18% of those say that they love their workplace, and just 33% say they love their job. The time has come once again to get another collection of recipes from Kyra's Kitchen. My wife Kyra with us in the studio this morning. And no theme today necessarily. It's no. Just a collection of yummy and easy to make recipes, yep, as they always are.
Yes.
And
stick to your gut.
Good stuff for a
yes,
cold autumn evening.
Yes.
Although we haven't had a whole lot of those
yet.
Looks like next week. Looks like next week we're definitely going to have some of those evenings where
frost
you're going to want
a window.
Good, hearty dinner.
Going to try and clean up the garage so I can get my car in.
You are not going to be the only one, I have a feeling. I think there are going to be a lot of folks doing that. So here's what we have in the recipes this morning. First of all, garlic butter chicken.
Yes. So this is 4 boneless chicken breasts, 1 teaspoon of black pepper, 1 teaspoon of salt, 1/2 a cup of all-purpose flour, 1/2 a cup of oil. Your sauce is butter, 2 garlic cloves, 1 teaspoon of flour, 1/2 a cup of chicken stock, 1 teaspoon of lemon juice, and 1 teaspoon of basil. So cut the boneless chicken breast into strips. Pound the chicken with a meat mallet or a rolling pin to flatten it. You want it to be like around 1/2 inch or so. You want it to be fairly thin.
Going to flatten that, tenderize it, all of that.
Yes, and then season it with your salt and pepper. Coat the chicken pieces with your flour. Make sure to coat both sides evenly, perfectly for a nice golden texture. Pour your oil into your iron skillet. I made sure it was about 1/2 inch up the side of my
depth of the
oil. So okay, you want it to be covering
a fair amount of oil. It's going to cover the chicken strips.
Yes. Well, okay, not completely cover the chicken strips, but it's going to
cover the bottom. For sure.
You want to make sure the bottom of your
a healthy, generous portion of oil.
Yes.
There.
Okay. Then heat your oil to medium high. Add your chicken. Fry the chicken breasts. So when you put your chicken breast in, do not try and flip it. Wait about 5 to 7 minutes before you flip it.
Okay.
If you do that, then it's not going to stick to the bottom of your pan.
Okay.
So if you wait, if you do it too soon, it may stick to the bottom of your pan.
Gotcha.
So so then once the underside turns golden brown, flip it and fry the other side simultaneously. Turn the burner to medium. During this process, remove the oil and the chicken from the skillet, melt your butter, add your minced garlic pieces, your chicken stock, flour, lemon juice, and your basil. Then add the chicken pieces back into the sauce. Let the chicken simmer gently in the sauce for a minute or so. Then turn the burner down low during that process and just let it simmer there for a little bit.
And you'll be ready to go.
And then enjoy.
Mm, garlic butter chicken. It is good stuff. To go along with that, have a recipe for creamy butternut squash pasta.
Yes. So 1 10-ounce package of frozen butternut squash, 2 tablespoons of minced garlic, 2 cups of vegetable stock, 1 bouillon cube, beef or chicken, 1 cup of Parmesan cheese grated, 1 16-ounce box of penne pasta, and 1 tablespoon of olive oil. So cook your pasta according to the package instructions, drain and set aside. Then in a large frying pan over medium heat, saute the minced garlic and olive oil until soft and fragrant. Add the squash to the pan and cook until it starts to turn golden brown, about 5 minutes. Pour the vegetable stock into the pan, ensuring the squash is covered, and add the bouillon cube. Bring to a boil, then reduce to simmer. During that time, that bouillon cube is going to dissolve, mm-hmm. and the bouillon cube just kind of gives it a really good taste. I love bouillon cube.
Good stocky taste
yep.
to it.
Yep. So then reduce to simmer. Cook until the squash is tender, about 15 to 20 minutes. Once the squash is soft, transfer it to a blender along with some of the cooking stock. Blend until smooth. So this is going to make like a sauce.
Okay.
So for your pasta. So adding more stock if needed. You want it to be nice and creamy, like I said, like a sauce. Discard any of the remaining stock. You won't use it all. Return the smooth squash sauce to your pan. Stir the Parmesan cheese until it's well combined. Then add your cooked pasta to the pan and toss to coat evenly. Let it sit there just for a few minutes to warm that pasta back up. Then serve and garnish with any extra Parmesan if you desire.
Really good.
Yes.
So the creamy butternut squash pasta with your garlic butter chicken, great main course and aside. And then for dessert, we have lemon pretzels.
Yes.
Lemon pretzels.
Pretzel dessert.
Okay.
Yes. So this is 2.5 cups of pretzels crushed, 2 teaspoons of vanilla extract, 2/3 cup brown sugar, 2 tablespoons of flour, 1/2 cup of butter melted, 8 ounce cream cheese at room temperature, 1 cup powdered sugar, and 8 ounce container of Cool Whip, and a 22 ounce of your lemon pie filling. So preheat your oven to 375 degrees. Crush your pineapples into small pieces using a food processor. If you like it to be chunkier, if you like a chunkier, then just put it in a bag and roll it with a pound it with a rolling pin and roll it. Then you're going to have some chunkier pretzel bites in there.
Okay.
If not, if you like it the other way, use your food processor. Like it with chunks.
Okay.
And this is one of Grady's favorites, and he likes it with chunks of pretzels.
Talking about our youngest son last week.
Yes. So add your pretzels, your vanilla, your brown sugar, and your flour. Stir until combined. Melt butter. Add to the pretzel mixture. Spread the mixture into your 9x13-inch baking dish. Reserve about 1/2 cup for topping. Press your mixture into an even smooth layer on the bottom of your pan. Bake for 10 minutes. Let that cool completely. While that's cooling, in a medium bowl, beat together your cream cheese until that's smooth with your powdered sugar. Let those two combine. Then add your Cool Whip. Mix that until it's just combined. Once the crust has cooled completely, spread your cream cheese mixture over your pretzel layer. Top with your lemon pie filling. Spread that evenly. Sprinkle remaining your pretzel crumbs over top. Cover and refrigerate for at least 4 hours or overnight. This is one of those sayings that you can make overnight if you want to, and then enjoy it the next day. But at least let it be in the fridge for 4 hours before to let it set.
So this is kind of like a lemon cream pie with a pretzel crust is basically what it is.
And then the other one, the strawberry, it's like there's one that's big with strawberries.
So you can do it.
Grady likes it. But the lemon one is really good.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's really refreshing. You really could do that with any flavor.
Oh, yeah.
Any pie Most filling definitely. Flavor, whether it's, cherry, lemon or cherry or blueberry. Strawberry.
Yep.
Blueberry,
yep, any
rhubarb,
of them. Yeah,
any of those,
yep.
I would think that you could do basically the same same way.
Yep,
good stuff.
Yes.
So the lemon pretzel dessert, along with the creamy butternut squash pasta and the garlic butter chicken, those recipes are all posted on the Kyra's Kitchen Facebook page, are they not?
Yes, they
are up there right now. As a matter of fact, you can go and check those out. And get those recipes at Kyra's Kitchen WFIN on Facebook. We also have that linked up at our webpage at goodmornings.net. And once again, remember, if there's something that you want to try, if you want to experiment with those recipes, maybe the lemon pretzel dessert and do something a little different with that, you can post about that on the Kyra's Kitchen Facebook page, share it with everybody else.
If holidays are coming.
Holidays are coming, absolutely.
If you got any ideas, let me know.
If you have a recipe idea or if you are looking for a specific recipe, you can reach out via the Facebook page as well at Kyra's Kitchen WFIN on Facebook. Again, you can get there at goodmornings.net. And my wife, Kyra, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. Thanks again to all of our guests for joining us on the program, of course. Remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage. Once again, that is goodmornings.net. You can also connect with us on social media, sign up for our daily email newsletter, and more. Goodmornings.net is our little corner of the World Wide Web. So until Monday morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day, a great weekend. We'll catch you back here next week.